The Doug and Wolf Show.
The next 4 hours of your life will be outstanding wherever you are if you keep listening to The Doug and Wolf Show.
You're calling your shot.
I'm calling my shot on today's show.
Doug Franz, Ron Wolfley.
You know that's good radio.
Oh, yeah.
Doug and Wolf, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Does anybody have any idea how we're even supposed to feel this morning? Good morning. It's Doug and Wolf on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Do you want to talk about how fantastic Friday night was?
Oh, my goodness.
Or do you want to talk about what we just saw yesterday?
Hey, you know me, Basinonians. I am a positive person. What do you say we talk about Friday in the New York Knicks game with the Suns? How about that? That would be nice.
Oh.
We will talk about that, will we not, Douglas? We are going to actually talk about Friday.
Just when you think you're down, wake up early in the morning like today, get yourself back on that private jet, and fly to the Carolinas and go into ninth place like Bryson DeChambeau.
Oh, my goodness. What was the most discouraging thing you saw over the weekend? That is a question we ask. It wasn't Mother's Day. Stop it, Basinonians. It wasn't Mother's Day. That wasn't discouraging at all.
I would say a guy standing on second base with no outs.
A guy standing on second base.
And not scoring.
Runners in scoring position. Hey, everybody, can a brother get a timely hit? Somebody get a timely hit here, please?
That would be it.
Yeah, that was pretty bad right there. First of all, you know what? I've said this before, but let's make sure we get this out of the
Alex
way
Caruso
right now.
Going to the Hall of Fame? That was tough.
Yeah, okay, oh my goodness. Yeah, that was brutal to watch right there, was it not? Especially, once again, when you juxtapose what happened against the New York Knicks. What, 8-2 at the time?
Suns played
them 8-2. They were 9-1 the last time they played them at the end of April, as a matter of fact. And the same thing happened. They went out in the second half, and the Suns just locked them down, shut it down in that second half and won the game.
The Mets bullpen had a 1.40 ERA this weekend.
You're all over the place right now. You're bouncing back and forth.
Like you couldn't do anything to them. 1.40 ERA.
Yes, 1.40 ERA. And you know what? Honestly, when you think about it right now, what's going on with the Diamondbacks? Where do you begin? What is the one thought you continue to have? And I'm sorry, you bring that up, Douglas, but you are so right. They were 4 of 32 against the Mets. 4 of 32 with runners in scoring position. Think how many ducks on the pond you had out there.
Somehow they did worse than they did in Miami.
Oh, my goodness. 2 of 28 in Miami with runners in scoring position. Can a brother get a timely hit? It's just brutal right now for the Arizona Diamondbacks. That, to me, is demoralizing. It's discouraging. It's not as demoralizing as the bullpen coming in or your closer coming in particular and giving up the lead. That's probably as bad as it gets.
So safely, the Diamondbacks haven't had a lead.
Haven't had a lead right there. But let me also say this, Basinonians, right here, because this is totally true. In the game of football, the worst thing that could possibly happen to a football team is that the other team lines up and runs the ball down your throat. That is the worst thing that could possibly happen to a football team. When you cannot stop the other guy from lining up and removing you from the line of scrimmage and running the ball down, it is... That's it. All bets are off. Unless all you do is continue to turn the ball over, the team that is able to run the ball, if you just turn it over, then you're going to lose. But if you run the ball and you can run the ball down somebody else's throat, you're going to win 90% of the time. It's demoralizing to the other team. It's kind of the same way in baseball. It's got to be. And right now, this runner in scoring position funk that the Diamondbacks are in, 6 of 60 in their last two series on the road. 6 of 60. What is that, Doug Lease? What would that batting average be?
I would put it about 100.
I'd put that about 100 right there, I think, if you do math. 100 with runners in scoring position. How demoralizing.
And that's what – it's such a strange weekend with how just amazing the Suns were Friday, and then to lay an egg yesterday, the D-backs go 0-6. And this might – I don't know if this makes it better or worse that the D-backs went 0-6 on this road trip. The Dodgers are 5-15 in their last 20 games.
Say that again.
The Dodgers are 5-15
5-15
in their last 20 games.
Douglas, that is a 333 right there.
I mean, how much I'm not saying like you would have been able to separate yourselves from the Dodgers enough that they were not going to come back or anything, but I am saying it would have been nice to take advantage of this swoon that the Dodgers are on right now.
Man, just the parallels once again to 2020 and being 13-11 and then going 2-18 over your next 20 games. All right, everyone just settle down. This is way too much on a Monday. This is way you know what, Mitch, as a matter of fact, you got to give me a lot of Metallica today, okay? I'm just telling you right now, all right? You got to bring us some Metallica on a Monday.
I can tell you something that's going to make you feel good, and that is I went to my first game Friday at the new arena. I say new arena because it doesn't resemble the old arena whatsoever.
Yes.
Okay. I went to the Suns game, and I can announce to the world there is not an arena on the planet that you can get beer faster than you can get it.
Okay.
Right there.
Right.
At Phoenix Suns Arena.
So you had was there any altercations whatsoever, Douglas? I mean, you know you run into trouble. It were any altercations?
One girl said I was rude.
Okay, there.
How did you know?
There you go.
I wasn't going to tell the story.
Because of course, you know, it's what you do.
I went to one of the little
very well
one of the little bar areas that had taps and everything was kind of a light beer. So I made the joke with the bartender and I said, "Hey, do you have any beer for men?"
Yes.
Well, this girl next to me thought I was offending her boyfriend who was drinking light beer. And then she goes, "Well, that's rude, but you can go over there."
Oh,
and she pointed
okay.
at some
there
area
you go right there.
And then the bartender just said, "No, all we have is light beer." And I said, "Oh, okay."
Yeah,
I was nice about it, but she took offense.
I see. I could see why she would probably. I mean, you know, honestly, hairy wrists and everything.
I was thinking, "Hey, girlfriend, I'm not watching your boyfriend.
Mitch,
I don't care what he's drinking.
Why are you looking at your wrists?" That's good, bro.
Hello.
Arizona Sports Front Desk with your wake-up call.
Thank you.
You got hairy wrist, bitch.
I don't know about that transition. Maloney, what you got?
Message received. Suns hear Lakers loud and clear and lost to champs.
Did they, though? I mean, did they? I'm asking too much for Devin Booker and Chris Paul to develop the intestinal fortitude at some point during a basketball to say, Alex Caruso, you're not going to continue scoring. Like, that's a I didn't know that was a big ask.
The Suns looked disinterested
in
that
first
quarter.
Yes, they did.
What is going on?
Suns fall further behind Jazz after loss to Lakers as the odds are stacked toward the Suns landing second in the standings.
If you're second in the standings, then you play the winner of the 7-8 game. Right now, the 7-8 game is Steph Curry versus LeBron and Anthony Davis.
Okay.
Are you really happy about having to face either of those, or would you like to pick it up a little bit and try to chase down Utah?
What is wrong with LeBron James, and why would you not bring him back sooner?
The Coyotes and head coach Rick Tocchet have mutually agreed to part ways after 4 years at the helm.
I started talking about it about 3 weeks ago with all of the losses to the lower part of the division, that this is normally what happens in the NHL. But let's be very clear. Firing Rick Tocchet does not make that organization a better organization. That organization has massive problems and big-time failure this year.
Really wasn't a surprise for the most part after losing 12 of their last 15 games. That, the fact that John Chyka is the guy that hired Tocchet, you could see this coming a mile away.
The Diamondbacks were swept by the Mets to drop their sixth game in a row.
After getting swept by the Marlins. And, boy, if you heard Torrey Lovello after the game, I liked what I heard. At the beginning of the year when they were playing terrible, he just sounded like all of 2020 was still on his shoulders. This time he doesn't sound like that. He kind of stared down the guys and said, "This is not the type of baseball we expect to play." I like what he said. Now, is he willing to go the extra step and put some butts on the bench who are part of the problem?
Yeah, the last series against the Mets here, their starting pitching was good. It was solid. Their bullpen was okay. Not a meltdown. Not in meltdown mode. It was okay. Their hitting was just atrocious. They can't put it all together. They're having a hard time doing it right now.
Churchill Downs suspends Bob Baffert after Medina Spirit fails drug test.
It's the only guy in horse racing I even know.
And I know Mike Smith.
Oh, that's well done by you.
Bob Baffert and Churchill Downs? And you're telling me right now he can't actually enter a horse at Churchill Downs, period.
But don't
Not
worry.
Just the Kentucky Derby.
Don't worry, though. He says he's going to do his own investigation.
Oh, I see.
So that's got to make you feel better,
then. I'm sure he's going to uncover a lot of dirt.
Yeah.
He knows where the bodies are buried, metaphorically speaking.
Coming up next, the one. Is there a scenario a couple weeks from now that we're all looking at the season of the Suns saying, that was a nice try, guys, as the Lakers advance? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The number one story of the day.
This is two games in a row where teams have come out with playoff intensity, and we haven't started games well.
Final score from Staples Center. Lakers 123, Suns 110.
If I'm the Lakers, I want to see the Phoenix Suns in the first round of the matchups, because I think Phoenix is going to be the first top seed to go out.
Oh!
Doug and Wolf's The One.
The One this morning is bigger than a final score of 123 to 110. By the way, the Suns last night were at 108 points with 3 minutes and 50 seconds left.
Oh, my goodness.
Scored 2 points in the last 3 minutes and 50 seconds. And it was a tough game to watch. Not because Anthony Davis became the first Lakers since Elgin Baylor to go 42-12-5 in back-to-back games.
The legendary Elgin Baylor.
So it's not just that. It's what everybody else did in that game. And I've never been one where I think you send yourself messages more than you really send the other team regular season messages. But what's been interesting is this last month, there's been a lot of talk from Shaq, a lot of talk from Charles Barkley, a lot of talk from TNT guys who state this is the time to be sending messages to other playoff teams that this is what happens when you come here, just to make sure there's one more demon they have to overcome when they come into your building. And if you want to say Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal know basketball, then the message was clearly sent yesterday of what happens to the Suns if they have to play the Lakers in the first round, to the point that Jay Williams this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin said,
if I'm the Lakers, I want to see the Phoenix Suns. I want to see them in the first round of the matchups. You know why? Because I think Phoenix is going to be the first top seed to go out early.
Oh.
And they're also, Phoenix is going to rejuvenate the playoff career of LeBron James and Dennis Schroeder when they come back.
Oh, my goodness. That is so brutally strong right there from Jay Will. All I know is this right here, so much of the time, and I'm a big believer in this, how you start halves, how you start games, and how you start halves are really, really telling in regard to your preparedness for whatever sport it is that you're engaging.
That's Coyotes fans.
I'm just saying right now.
how many goals start, they gave up.
You also got to finish, Douglas. Don't get me wrong on that. You've got to finish as well as a team, individually and collectively, based on needs. You've got to finish as well. But so much of the time, how you start really kind of, it shows you where you are as a team collectively. And watching the Suns get off to that horrible start was really shocking when you compare that and juxtapose that against how they finished against the Knicks on Friday night.
How good they looked Friday. It's interesting to talk about messages. Monty Williams said he thought the Lakers looked at the Suns and said, we'll see you in the first round in about a week, so we want to let you know who we are. And Devin Booker was asked about Monty's statement.
Hey, Book. Monty said that this was the type of game where the Lakers looked at you guys as a potential playoff matchup and sent you guys a message you received loud and clear. Do you agree with that sentiment?
Yeah.
Kellen Olsen's question was a lot longer than the answer from Devin Booker, but it shows you that I believe they were listening. Now, does it do anything? I don't know if it does anything, because You have to ask yourself as a Suns fan, and I think this is an important question. After 11 years of total straight misery, and at times a flat-out civic embarrassment how bad the Suns were, when we had to ask the question, are you trying this year or not, because we couldn't tell, and why are hairdressers affecting trade rumors? That's where we were at one point in 11 years. Now, with this unbelievably wildly successful season.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know how many of you have felt it, especially in a pandemic, but the nights where there are no Suns basketball, there's a void in life that for a sports fan in this town.
No doubt about it. That's a good way of saying it.
That's how great this year has been. And yet, if you've allowed the bar to be raised, how are you going to feel with a first-round exit to the Lakers? And I say that in all seriousness, because if they don't get game-to-game intensity from DeAndre Ayton, look at Friday night from Ayton and Sunday. If they don't get any backcourt defense from Chris Paul and Devin Booker, if they don't get something from either Torrey Craig, Jay Crowder, or Frank Kaminsky in that fifth starting spot, this is going to be short. I mean, this is not going to last in the playoffs. And then we're going to be sitting there trying to decide, was this successful this year? Because talking about championships and one seeds are all a joke if you're not even in the second round of the playoffs.
I don't know how you could look at this season and not call it a success for the Suns. I understand, honestly, right now. You're talking about, okay, getting into the postseason, it's a completely different paradigm. There's no doubt about that. Especially if you're talking about being the two seed, getting kicked out in the first round. I guess it'd be a massive bummer. There's no doubt about it. Oh, my goodness, we'd be forlorn. But at the same time, is it not a success? The season that they had in getting into the postseason, you could build an argument either way on that. There's no doubt about it. Don't be definitive. You could build an argument either way on that. The thing that continues to bother me is they did not look ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
They did not look ready to play. And blame the players for that, ladies and gentlemen. They should be ready to go. This game, I think, is going to serve as a good reminder to Suns players what it looks like to be ill-prepared to play. And I thought they were ill-prepared.
Friday night, the Suns beat the Knicks 128-105 in a fantastic basketball game. Booker was only 3 of 12 from the field, but he attacked the lane so hard that he went to the free throw line enough to score 16 points. Chris Paul, 17 points, above 50% shooting, 11 assists, 0 turnovers. And if you watched the game, it was all Ayton all the time and some threes from Jay Crowder. Ayton was unbelievable. So that's
savage.
That's all Friday. And the reason why that matters is now you can imagine when you're in the media and you talk to Monty Williams after he's had a chance to digest the game on Saturday morning, after he's watched it, after he studied the film, and he's starting to project into Sunday night's game against the Lakers, when he's asked, hey, you're playing a desperate Lakers team. Are you ready?
Well, we're the same way. You know, we play with a sense of urgency and desperation too. So I'm more of the mindset of focusing on our team, playing the way that we're supposed to play. If we do that, we can beat anybody in the league.
Now listen to what Monty just said there, Basinoni, and shut your eyes and think of that first quarter. But think of how the Suns actually came out and how they started that game. That was after Saturday's practice.
13-4, 22-6, 25-13, 28-15. You pick the score you like. That's how they started.
I'm talking about the first 6 minutes of the quarter, too, where Chris Paul turned the ball over three times. D. Book was 1-for-5 from the floor, and DeAndre Ayton had played 4 minutes, had no shots, no points, and 2 fouls. No shots, no points, 2 fouls. I mean, they looked absolutely disinterested, is the best way to actually put it. It was like they didn't care if they won or lost the game, which is ludicrous, of course. By the way, Minch, get some ludicrous ready to go this morning as well. We need a little bit of ludicrous as well. Act the fool is what we need.
I just played this for you before, but just to let it wash over you again.
If I'm the Lakers, I want to see the Phoenix Suns. I want to see them in the first round of the matchups. You know why? Because I think Phoenix is going to be the first top seed to go out early.
Oh.
And they're also, Phoenix is going to rejuvenate the playoff career of LeBron James and Dennis Schroeder when they come back.
That was a game without LeBron. And I don't understand what they were trying to do against Davis. I mean, either Monty Williams put together a terrible game plan, and I don't think that was the case, but it could have been. Or, you're going to laugh at this, they played scared against him. I mean, when you have to drop into a zone because nobody's really man enough to hit him, and I hope you, those of you that are basketball fans, you know what I mean by hit him. I mean, move him off of his spot, make him shoot over you through some contact. And I realize you can argue all you want about the officiating in that game. It was terrible, but welcome to the NBA. I mean, Adam Silver does not care about officiating. If he did, something would have been done about it a long time ago. You just got to deal with it. And again, the Suns are getting so wrapped up into bad calls, yelling at refs. It's the NBA. Almost every ref is terrible in the NBA. Deal with it.
I honestly think, I don't think they had that sense of urgency or desperation that Monty Williams is talking about. That's what they lacked. The Lakers didn't have LeBron. The Lakers were 2-8 in their last 10 games, basically. It's 2-8. No LeBron. What does that say? Once again, you know what? Honestly, it's like the Suns were looking at the Lakers like, hey, listen, man, do we really have to bring our A game, our intensity level? We know this is not even the Laker team. If LeBron's out there, it's not really the Lakers, is it?
Everybody's feeling good about the Diamondbacks. Then they left Phoenix. What happened? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
What a mess.
Pound away at the steering wheel this morning on your way into work. And if you do so, you'll feel exactly like Tori Lavello. Good morning, it's Doug and Wolf. We're live in the Auction Community Studios. There's something going on with the D-backs that's very, very interesting. And I consider it my job to be able to read into what managers and players are saying to tell you what's really going on the inside that they don't quite want you to know, but they slip up a little bit and open a window.
Okay.
I can't do that today. Tori Lavello said something, and I was on pace with it the whole way until he said, and it's not his fault. And when he said that, I shouldn't say past tense. I'm extremely confused. Here is the breakdown. Diamondbacks get swept in another series. So they leave at 13-11 and they come back 13 and what are they now? 13 and are they 13-17?
No, it was 15-13.
15-13. Yeah, 13-11 was the year before.
Yes.
So 15-13, and now they're 15-19 after losing six straight. And yesterday, I'll build this up with everything he said. There's a lot for you to hear from Monty, but the punchline punched me in the face.
With the frustration mounting for an assortment of different reasons, we came out here with the best of intentions to grind through and compete and win a baseball game. I thought we put ourselves in position to do that several times today. We just couldn't get that big hit at the right time to break this game open.
Now, if you don't know what he's talking about, double plays were brutal in this game for the Diamondbacks. They get DeGrom, of all people, on the ropes with walk, double, walk. By the way, only the second time in DeGrom's entire major league life that he's walked three guys in an inning before. And they hit Nick Ahmed hits right into a double play.
Oh, my goodness.
And then when they finally have a chance to break into the bullpen, they get a double and a hit batsman with one out in the eighth. Bam, a Peralta double play to end the inning. Well, then Tori Lavello says,
I've talked about a lot of the little things here. Little things matter to me, and they matter to this organization. It's one of my, it's one of the values that I instill inside of this organization on a daily basis. And we're not doing a lot of little things right now. That's probably, the area that I am most frustrated by. So, no, that's on me. I gotta deliver these messages. I gotta talk to the coaches. I gotta get the coaches to talk to the players. I've gotta deliver the messages to the players. Deliver those messages to the players myself. And those little things are probably areas that don't initially show up in the box score, but when we do them right and we do them the way we're supposed to do them and the way we need to do them, we're a good baseball team.
Man, I wonder what he's talking about in regard to the little things.
Here's what's huge. When you hear a coach say that in the offseason, that's not a big deal. You hear NFL coaches say it a lot in the offseason of coaching the coaches. You know, hey, I'm bringing in a new system. I've got to coach the coaches. You don't normally say that 5 to 6 weeks into the season where you say, I've got to get the coaches to send the right message to the players. I've got to start going directly to the players with the message. That means there's something going on communication-wise that isn't going the way he wants. And Steve Gilbert of dbacks.com asked a follow-up that said, okay, if it's all the little things, what are some of the little things that you think you guys got wrong today?
Playing fast. Being in the right place. Your pre-pitch setup. Not being afraid to make mistakes. Sometimes I think we're going forward with our emergency brake on. That's unacceptable to me.
Now, a lot of people are going to get hung up on a pretty cool phrase, going forward with your emergency brake on.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it wasn't that. It was not being in the right place in your pre-pitch setup. Now, if you've been watching games over the last 2 or 3 years, you'll see almost every fielder has a card in their back pocket. And it's a rundown of every other player on the other team and where they're going, what they do when they hit the ball, where you should line up. It's also your coaches' jobs to line up the players if they're not in the right spot. So it's kind of a dual thing. You should be smart enough to do it yourself. You should be focused enough to do it yourself. But there's a coach right there that's supposed to be a part of this.
Yeah.
So imagine you go up to, you're out in the field, and there's one out, or there's nobody out in the third inning, and the leadoff hitter is on base, and the pitcher's up. 95 million people that have ever been to a baseball game are going to say the pitcher's probably going to bunt.
Torrey, with another thing with Eduardo, was he playing a little too deep on that DeGrom at bat there when he wound up putting down the bunt single?
I thought so, yes. That's one of those little things that I'm talking about. And it's not Eduardo's fault. It was more than that. I know he's the easy target. We got to figure that out.
Oh, my goodness. Who is he talking about? If it's not Eduardo's fault, whose fault is it? Is he talking about a coach? Back to your point right now. I have no idea. But, boy, it sounds very, very ominous for the structure of the coaching staff. Let's put it that way.
This was the definition of epic failure for these six games, to have the players fail as bad as they did in executing at bats, especially with runners in scoring position. For the Mets bullpen to end this series with a 1.40 ERA is unbelievable, to be able to shut down an entire offense that way. And for the Diamondbacks guys that you're counting on the most to start doing things, like David Peralta has a slash of 174, 269, 217 in May, and Eduardo Escobar's at 111, 172, 148 in
May.
And
those two guys got it going,
yes,
at the end of April, as a matter of fact.
And you see them fall on their face, and then you have the manager that is trying to bite his tongue. The gap between Nick Pecora's question before he said, yes, that's one of those things. Like, he didn't want to go there, but he wasn't going to lie about it. Now you can see he's not happy with what the coaches are doing and saying in pressers, I've got to go directly to the players to send the message. This was not your normal little losing streak. There's a lot of issues here.
Listen, I've been saying it for a long time now. The Diamondbacks, they need their best players playing their best. And if they don't get that from their lineup, they have no chance of getting into the postseason, because you need those guys to actually go out in the tangible effect of playing their best and what they're capable of doing. and also the intangible that it brings. And Eduardo Escobar, at one point in time, used to be one of the best players the Arizona Diamondbacks had. Now, you have to go back a couple of seasons to actually see that. But trust me on that one, Basin Onis. I think we all understand Eduardo was an excellent player, an excellent third baseman, a guy that could hit, a guy that hit for power, a guy that drove in runs. This is a guy that has had a lot of success as a Diamondback, and to watch him just struggle in the field in particular, the way that he has, is truly disconcerting to me. It really is. Eduardo Escobar, 0 for 5 with runners in scoring position this series. You want to know why he struck out right there and lost his temper and said something to the umpire, Manny Gonzalez? I'll tell you right now, it was because he was through. Done, baked, and he's wearing it right now. You can just see it on him. That's one of the reasons why Torrey came out and got tossed as well.
Keep an eye on this on this week. Four games against Miami, three games at Washington. All games are at home. When you have a manager say some of the things that he said, when you have an ejection of two guys like you just mentioned, he usually don't blast guys before you get on a plane, but you say something about it today. And it'll be really interesting to see how does that project. It's one of those weeks, which is a fulcrum season type of week. Yes, I said that in May. But when you have that kind of conversation going on, this is a big week. Coming up next, the final week of the NBA season is here. Time to go scoreboard watching and laugh what somebody dealt to the Spurs. Ha! That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Right. I realize it's not karma or anything. It doesn't suddenly bring Amari and Boris back onto the court. Good morning. It's Doug and Wolf on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. But if anybody would like to laugh a little bit, may I point you towards the schedule to end the season for the San Antonio Spurs. As it's time to start scoreboard watching and see what's about to happen. Your play-in tournament, Golden State goes to Los Angeles to play the Lakers.
Yeah.
Winner is the 7 seed and they play the Suns. There you go. All right, that's kind of easy to figure out.
Okay.
Then the loser of that game plays the winner of Memphis-San Antonio. Okay?
Okay.
That's it. Loser of Memphis-San Antonio is out.
Okay.
However, New Orleans is starting to catch San Antonio. They're only a game and a half back of San Antonio. San Antonio is a massive mess right now. They have fallen totally apart at the end of the season. They've lost 6 of their last 7, I believe is the number. And guess, I don't know who did this to them, but somebody gave them this schedule to end the year. Home against Milwaukee tonight.
Okay.
Then they get a day off.
All right.
And then
they're
somebody
need it.
And then somebody said, "You haven't been to New York yet this year." So they have a back to back in New York. They play the Knicks. They play the Nets and then the Knicks on Wednesday, Thursday.
Brutal.
They get Friday off, and then they're home against the Suns for a back to back Saturday and Sunday.
Oh my god.
That means to end the year,
finish.
The Spurs get 4 games in 5 nights, including a trip to New York for 2 of the games. So if the Suns can't take advantage of that,
yes,
who knows what they're gonna be able to do. But that's how the Spurs end the season. That just made me feel good to be able to say that. But what happens is you're watching
just
this.
Stick it to San Antonio.
They got stuck on that.
That's
one.
Awesome.
But the big battle is what's going on between 5 through 9. To be quite honest, Dallas has a 2-game lead over the Lakers at the 5 spot.
Yeah.
Portland only has a 1-game lead over the Lakers, and that's the dividing line between 6 and 7. It's 6, no play-in game.
Yeah.
7 and 8, you have 2 games to win 1, and you're in.
Yes.
And if you're the 9-10, you've got to go 2-0 in your 2 play-in games or you're out.
That's incredible right there. It really is. Where do you think this puts the Lakers? Because right now, they're the one team that I care about. They really are. Everybody else, for the most part, Basinonians, it's like, hey, listen, you're going to get in there. If you're the Phoenix Suns, you're going to get into the postseason. You got to beat somebody. It doesn't matter. If you want to win a championship, and I think right now we can talk about the Phoenix Suns being a championship discussion team. You can talk about them as a championship team. Now, again, will they win a championship? That remains to be seen. But you can certainly talk about them being a championship caliber type team. It comes down to this right here. Hey, listen, if you're gonna win the championship, you're gonna have to beat the best teams in the association, and that includes the Lakers at some point in time. This entire conversation to me has got to be pulled through the prism of the Lakers, because that to me is the one team. And Jay Will, you actually played some Jay Will sound this morning. Jay Will was talking about this very thing right here, that he thinks the Lakers want to play the Suns. So what are the odds of the Lakers actually being the seed that is going to play the Phoenix Suns? That's what I want to know.
I jumped the gun.
If I'm the Lakers, I want to see the Phoenix Suns. I want to see them in the first round of the matchups. You know why? Because I think Phoenix is going to be the first top seed to go out early.
Oh.
And they're also, Phoenix is going to rejuvenate the playoff career of LeBron James and Dennis Schroeder when they come back.
Where do you think he got that from, honestly? Do you think Jay Will actually talks to people in the association? Do you think he talks to people? I think he does. I think he talks to people. I think he's probably got an in on the Lakers. I'm sure he's gotten some type of confirmation based on what he just said from the Lakers. That's my belief.
I think really you have to look at the Suns, and number one, you have to decide, to you as a fan, is there a problem? I mean, that's and it's actually a fair question. I think there is. But it's okay if you're saying, you know, I don't think there's a problem with the Suns. I think they're just tired. If you want to think that. To me, I was along that line of thinking until yesterday. After you did what you did to the Knicks, who are an unbelievably physical team, and then you have a day off, and then you have the horrific flight of 35 minutes to Los Angeles. Yeah, I'm being sarcastic. And that's the kind of muster you have for a game against the Lakers when you know they've got Anthony Davis. You know, and the backcourt defense, I continue to harp on, somehow that message isn't getting through. So either Monty disagrees with me that he thinks it's okay for the opposing backcourt to live in the paint for 48 minutes, or Booker and Paul are not getting the message. That's what's going on right now. And after yesterday, I'm not panicked because I can't do anything about it sitting here, all right? Either they actually assess themselves and say, we've got a backcourt defense
Everybody
problem.
Everybody remain calm.
Or they don't even think they have one, because it's apparent. When Alex Caruso makes you question, would you rather have Chris Paul, Devin Booker, or Alex Caruso?
Yes.
As dumb as that question sounds, watch that game yesterday. If that's the only game you ever see, you might actually come away and say, I'd rather have a Caruso-Caldwell-Pope backcourt than the one the Suns have. That's how embarrassing the defense has been from Chris Paul and Devin Booker. But because they're both in the MVP conversation, nobody – I don't know if it's the coaching staff or if it's the team. DeAndre Ayton, it's actually time for you to flip the script and yell at them for the backcourt defense that's going on.
Yeah.
But you can't do it when you shoot the ball three times yesterday.
DeAndre Ayton, too, again, it's hard to talk about what we saw yesterday against the Lakers without pulling it through the prism of the New York Knicks on Friday night. It just is to me. It is. The juxtaposition of those two things based on it blows my mind. It does. How does that happen? I don't understand that.
26-15 against a physical team Friday night. 6 points and six rebounds, with half of them coming when the game was decided.
And we've seen this pretty much all year long, but it's a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type situation with the Suns. It is. It's a situation where sometimes you see them go out, and during a game, they'll flip the switch, and they're a completely different team. You've heard me talk about this so many times. I'm amazed at that. I really am. How many times we've seen the Suns midstream in the middle of a game, whether it's the fourth quarter, whether it's coming out of the tunnel, whatever it may be, flip the switch and look like a totally different team. The best example was the Cleveland Cavalier overtime period.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
that
yeah.
was the best example we've ever seen of that. Where suddenly you're all tied up at 114-114, really looked a little lethargic through those four quarters playing the Cavaliers, and all of a sudden the overtime period, you were lights out. 20 to 4, they outscored them. How did that happen? What, you flipped it like that? It's Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, and that's the one thing about this team. You've always got a personality. You do. As a team, you've got a personality. We all have personalities individually and collectively as a team, you've got a personality. And the personality of the Suns, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
What really hurt for me yesterday is, this is more of a personal thing, but I went to Friday night's game, and this is going to sound so strange for a guy that lives in the sports world like I do. For those of you that have real jobs in life, thank you for you being the ones to drive the American economy, and I get to mooch off of you by talking sports. But I forgot how much fun it is to go to a game. It was just my wife and I. Mm-hmm. We had a date night. We went to Suns Knicks. The arena, I don't care what they do when you watch television and they try to do those little things on Bally Sports where they show you how nice the arena is. You can't do it justice. The thing is gorgeous. It was so incredible to walk in there. It was so incredible to see how open everything is. It was so easy. Jennifer bought me a shirt. She's back soon. It was so easy to go get beer. It's so easy to get to your seat. It was such a great game. Such an amazing environment. You never knew there was only 8,000 people in there. It got so loud. And you forgot. I totally forgot how fun it is to be a fan in a pandemic. After going to that game Friday, I was reminded. So, A, free plug for anybody, try to get to a game this year. But then to get smacked in the face on Sunday, after how great you felt for what they did to the Knicks, it was just painful yesterday to watch that game against the Lakers when you don't think you should ever question their intensity. I think that's what kills me the most.
Yes.
I never want to question the Suns' intensity.
Yes.
And it's a very legitimate question to say, what happened to your intensity?
Listen, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde was a great book. It's a great book, Basinonians. This is a great team, the Phoenix Suns. But it doesn't mean that they don't have that Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde personality. We've seen it.
Text playoffs right now if you want to get involved with it to 620-620 and sign up for the exclusive Arizona Sports Suns Playoff Virtual or Valley Virtual event featuring Arizona Sports hosts and other special guests. Plus, you will have a chance to win an autographed jersey. Text playoffs to 620-620. This Valley Virtual Series is presented by 72 Sold. Get your price. Coach is better than I am.
Playoffs?
Coming up next, was there a chance that the Arizona Cardinals were not going to draft at 16. A very interesting story that if you missed it over the weekend, wow, does it smack you in the face about your Cardinals. Next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.